Good news for today is that we are poor, brothers and sisters. We are very poor, and it is good. Just notice, we didn't make the world. We didn't make our lives. We didn't put ourselves in our place in time and history, or our place on earth, or even our place in our family. We didn't give ourselves faith or salvation or love. We can't make who we are. We can't make happiness for ourselves, and we can't create for ourselves purpose or meaning in our lives. We can't baptize ourselves. We can't forgive our own sins. We can't find in ourselves fulfillment. Everybody's poor. Everybody who ever lived was poor. What is different about those who are poor in spirit, it's just one thing. Those who are poor in spirit know they are poor and acknowledge it. And those who are not poor in spirit, they're poor and they don't know. All of these things that we can't do for ourselves, but that we have received as gifts that we never earned. They're just given to us. So God works, and he's working today. He works to uncover our poverty because he loves us. And usually it's kind of like a slow melt. I was just looking at the roof of the church, and it was covered in snow, but you can see that there are cracks forming and that this like sheet of snow is slowly sliding down to uncover the roof. It's sort of like that for us. It's usually not just like a blast where our poverty is unveiled before us. Usually it's just kind of like little cracks appear, and then who we actually are, what we actually are, is slowly revealed underneath all of the things that we work to cover our poverty with. He unveils our poverty because he loves us, because who's in greater danger? The person who cannot see, who thinks they can see, or the person who can't see and knows they can't see? Who's in greater danger? It's easy, and I do this every day and every week. I begin to believe that I know what's up, but I don't. I begin to believe that I'm all good, and I'm not. And I begin to believe that I can do it, and I can't. We've been talking in the last few weeks about the mission and direction and purpose of St. Luke, and this is very important. If the starting place is we're good, we can do it, then we're not going anywhere. The starting place, acknowledging the truth, has to be that we aren't good as we are, that we're poor, and that we can't do it. A parish or an individual, or especially a priest who doesn't know their poverty and who closes their eyes to it, is doomed to depart from God. And then we're in trouble. But when we embrace poverty, we're set free because we can begin to desire and reach for things that are beyond our abilities. Because we can't do it anyway. We can't do that by ourselves anyway. If we stay with what we can do, then our goals will be very, very small. But when we say, well, I can't do it anyway, then we can reach for things that are beyond us. This is what all of our hearts have done when we have begun to desire eternal life. What we desire is something that we cannot achieve, that we can't get for ourselves, but can only be given, can only receive. This is what God does in us. He makes us desire more than we're capable of. Now, all of us are afraid to be poor, because we're afraid to be nothing. We're afraid to be powerless. And it makes sense. In the world, those who are nothing and powerless, they get stepped on. They get taken advantage of and then discarded in the end. But we are not in the world. Today we're in the house of the Father. And here, we do not have to be afraid to be poor. In the house of our Father, poverty is not a condemnation, but an invitation to joy and freedom that we can't make for ourselves. Because we finally, when we take off all of those things that we use to protect ourselves, we finally have space to receive these gifts that he has for us. It's not bad to be poor. Children are poor, and they're happier than most of us adults. It's not bad to be poor. They have everything provided for them. They're just open to receive. It's good to be a child. It's good to be poor. Jesus, though, he doesn't just tolerate poverty. He becomes poor for us. And he remains poor. Jesus, when he's incarnate, yes, he's materially poor. But deeper than that, like in the depths of his person, he remains poor because he receives everything from his Father. He doesn't try to make himself. He doesn't try to achieve for himself. He says, I only do what I have seen the Father doing. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me. He's always pointing to the Father and not to himself. And he, this is really important, he doesn't try to figure out or create who he is or what he will do, but he receives his whole self. He receives who he is from the Father. That means he remains poor because he's just receiving this gift. He becomes utterly poor, of course, on the cross when he has nothing, not even his life. But this one, the poor one, Jesus, he is not condemned for being poor. The poor one who has nothing is raised up as the king of all creation. The Lord of heaven and earth is the poor one who allows himself to be raised up by his Father, who doesn't try to make something for himself. If this is what happens to Jesus, who becomes poorer than any of us, then we do not have to fear being poor. God doesn't forget the poor. He doesn't condemn them. He doesn't look down on them. But he is always working to raise up the poor and impoverished. When we venerate the saints, when we point to examples for ourselves, we are not pointing to people who have it all together, who are good and strong and have it going. What we point to is the people who understand and acknowledge their great need, who know that they are nothing without God. This is why I want all of you, but especially people who lead ministries and things, why I want you to have a deep commitment to formation and prayer and mass and confession. Because if you do not know your poverty, if you don't go to those things, not just because you have to, but because you know you need them, like you have to eat every day or you'll die. If you don't understand your own poverty, then you're useless to everybody else and we'll end up being led in the wrong direction. I remember on ordination day, I was ordained a priest. They were all, you know, the deacons sitting there, really nervous, really scared, about to be ordained by the bishop. And the bishop, when he was preaching, he didn't say, now, after today, go and get stuff done and be great priests and be strong and good. He said, you are the foolish of the world. You are the poor ones. And the Lord, he chooses you not because you're great and strong and talented, but because he doesn't need those things. He specifically works in the weak because he doesn't need our talents and gifts. He chooses the weak and pours out his power and goodness in them. He says, you're broken clay vessels. And this is where the Lord pours out his treasures. He chose you because you are poor and small and weak. Did you hear the second reading today? This is about each of us. Maybe you thought St. Paul was talking about somebody else, but he's talking about you. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. When we acknowledge our poverty, and we just bear the truth of that. It can be frightening, yes. But when we acknowledge that before the Lord, there's no taking advantage of. There's no ridicule. There's no condemnation. There's no judgment. When we acknowledge this, our deep, deep poverty, there is only rejoicing because we have finally begun to live in the truth. There's unconditional love offered to us who have nothing and are nothing. And the Lord pours out his enriching gifts. Yesterday morning, very early, 7 a.m., we had this men's breakfast. And it was a test run. And nobody really knew how it would turn out. And we were hoping for like 25 guys. And 45 guys showed up. And we had a great breakfast of biscuits and gravy. I was very encouraged by how many guys showed up. And each of those guys, I don't know their reasons. I don't know what brought them there. But there has to be a little acknowledgement of their own poverty. Maybe they went there saying, I need this. Because I can't do this by myself. Maybe it was a little less than that. Maybe it was as simple as I can gain something from this because I don't have it all figured out. Mothers and fathers, you do not have to be Superman. You don't have to be the one who has it all figured out or to be strong in every moment and have it all together. You're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be poor. What have any of us gained by trying to enrich ourselves? A lot of worry and anxiety, a lot of pressure and stress, a lot of things that don't really mean anything. The good news is that the Lord says you don't have to live that way anymore. He says, I want you to be little mothers and little fathers who depend entirely and in their poverty on the Father who is in heaven. It can be, it takes a little death to say, yes, I am inadequate. But I hope that that you experience some relief in this too. All the pressure that you felt, it has come from yourself and from others, but it has not come from the Lord. He says, I made you poor and I want you poor. I want you to be little mothers and fathers who depend on me. I want to just end with this. We're here today to worship God. This is the main reason why we're here. Not to get something out of it, though the Lord gives us a lot. Worship is the ultimate place for joyful poverty. Okay, because in worship, we abandon ourselves. We set down and abandon all of those things that we accumulate to try and cover up our own poverty. All the things that we have and money and power and fame and friends and influence and all those sorts of things where we try to convince ourselves that we're not poor. We abandon that and we even abandon our very selves. We forget about ourselves. When we worship, we say, not me, but you, Father. We said this in the Gloria. We said, you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ. We say, not me, but you. This is the place where we can sort of experience this ecstatic joy of abandoning ourselves. Because we do not have to take care of ourselves. We do not have to be independent or self-sufficient. We get to depend and to be poor. This is the way the Lord made us. This is where the Lord draws us. When we do this, and we just try a little to step into self-abandonment and embracing our own poverty, where we turn our eyes away from ourselves and turn them to the Lord, and we say, not me, but you, what we find and what we are given is freedom and joy and love.